That little speaker on your phone doesn't stand a chance. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Brady and Walker. Now, TV. Sportsnet 360. Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, it's Andrew Walker, Greg Brady. It is Brady and Walker, our 3 o'clock hour. Cavaliers punched their ticket last night to the NBA Finals. They do it in dominant fashion, the sweep of Atlanta. And all of a sudden, the playoffs, they were supposed to be about, well, a number of things. The West, maybe Steph Curry, maybe the Bulls, maybe the Hawks after winning 60. It's been all about LeBron James. Brady asked a great question yesterday on the show. Is it related to the enormity of LeBron's playoff accomplishments? Jordan was amazing, but did he ever will a team to a finals like LeBron did this year or even 5 years ago? But I couldn't stop thinking about this last night, and I cannot sit here in good conscience and pretend like I think anyone is in Michael Jordan's class. In terms of worldwide impact, think about this. Have we already begun to maybe underappreciate how amazing Michael Jordan was? He was so good that in the mid-90s, which now feels like the Stone Age when it comes to marketing, communication, media, and access, Jordan was so recognizable that he transcended his sport. LeBron, I don't even know if he's like that in 2015. There's no better example than this. In the mid-90s, much like the hockey world would think about Gretzky, even my mom would know to watch Jordan and the Bulls in the NBA Finals, and she's no sports fan. If you were to ask her today, I don't think she would know LeBron James is even in the finals. So as impressive as LeBron has been, that does say something to me.
This is Brady and Walker. Watch it on Sportsnet 360. Hear it on sportsnet.ca/590. And Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It's Brady and Walker. Our 3 o'clock hour, Primetime Sports, comes your way at 4 o'clock. It's 3-1 White Sox, top of the 8, 2 out. Jays are going to have 6 more outs, but that's all they needed. Actually, they didn't even need any of the 3 outs in the 9th inning last night. Josh Donaldson hit a no-out 3-run home run to win the game 10-9. So we'll see. More dramatics on tap in the series finale. They get an off day tomorrow, travel to beautiful downtown Minneapolis, Prince's home. And they'll play the Twins starting tomorrow night outside, not in the Metrodome, not in the garbage bag dome. Yeah, the Jordan LeBron stuff gives me a headache, and yet I can't help but get involved. I just can't help myself when people are like, "Yeah, man, rings, 6 rings."
Well, it was the same with Brady Manning stuff. I mean,
I know.
The debate never really gets old.
Listen, our old friend Sid Sixera was screaming one day about. He really was. About
I don't believe you.
I know. About Brady and Montana one day. And he's like, Montana's got 4. Sid's, Brady's got 3. That's all I need to know. That's it. And I said, listen. And then instantly, Brady's got 4. But Brady's been to 6 Super Bowls. Like, doesn't that matter? And Bill Russell has 11 NBA titles. No one thinks Bill Russell,
right,
as great
right.
as he was, is better than Michael Jordan. Like,
no one thinks Henri Richard is the best hockey player of all time.
Well, I got the pocket rocket first, then Gretzky, then Lemieux and Orr.
Then the
How
other
about
rocket.
That? How yeah. about those rankings? So this one's really tricky. And it's look, can we just we don't want to, nobody ever wants to just settle this and say, hey, they're both on the starting 5 of the best team in
That's
NBA history.
Lame. That's so lame.
I know, you're supposed to have a really, you're supposed to take the other guy down. The only thing I know is this, and this did remind me of this. Everybody can kind of remember Jordan retiring, going to play with the Chicago White Sox, or that was the plan anyway, and he quote unquote retired, really. And the next year, the Chicago Bulls won 2 fewer games. When LeBron leaves somewhere,
yeah,
you go, you lose 30 fewer games. You win 30 fewer games. Like,
true.
Even Miami this year. Like, I tried to talk myself into the Heat going, they had Luol Deng. They're not so bad. I know Bosch, look, he couldn't have helped what happened to Bosch in early February. And we were even talking, we're like, that's not a team you want to play in the playoffs with Bosch, Wade, and Deng playing as well as they're playing right now. Napier was a good ad as a rookie. one of the rare impactful rookies this season beyond Wiggins and Parker before he got hurt. I don't know. It gets me. I just get all turned in a circle like a puppy over the LeBron Jordan thing because they're both awesome. They're both awesome.
Right. And I can't because there's rings, there's finals. They have remarkably similar career paths in terms of achieving those. And we could sit here all day and say, well, I think Jordan was a better defender, or I think LeBron James got to the rim better, or all that kind of stuff. And then I just got thinking about impact last night. And the mom example came up. And I guess it doesn't mean he was a better player. Just in terms of domination and worldwide acclaim and impact on the sport, I don't think we'll ever see another one like MJ. Like I said, people who weren't sports fans or basketball fans knew that Michael Jordan and the Bulls were playing in the NBA Finals when they were.
But let me ask you, was Magic, it was so soon after Magic, there wasn't a huge gap. Magic would have been drafted in 79 after that Michigan State-Indiana State Final. Jordan's drafted in 84. There's only a five-year gap. We've had a lot longer gap with Jordan out of the league. And I still think we've got more superstars than ever. By the time Jordan was gone in 98, who were the great players to watch in basketball? I'm not saying there weren't any, because Allen Iverson was amazing.
Shaq.
Shaq was there. Kobe was there on the same team. Iverson was a must-see with the Sixers for a good five-year span. But there were a lot of other guys that were sort of like, I'm okay with Chris Webber. Grant Hill impresses me. But I'm saying I think you've got like seven or eight absolute megastars. Like, look at Steph Curry. Steph Curry wins the MVP. Maybe the best shooter ever. No one thinks he's the best player.
Do you think there's that many?
Yeah, I think there's seven or eight absolute bona fide.
I don't know.
I think we're getting outside of basketball realms that everybody knows. Remember also, your mom and my mom.
But you put
my mom, the Eric Lindros fan, were 20 years younger then. Space Jam comes out. And they know that that's Michael Jordan starring in a movie with the Looney Tunes. LeBron James isn't doing that.
But do you put James Harden in that mix? He's marketable. He's a great player. But I think you go back into the mid to late 90s, there was 10 James Hardens.
Okay, well, nobody knows. I'm not sure a guy like Karl Malone, until very late in his career, even after, got really well known outside of basketball circles. I don't believe he did. You knew Isaiah.
Right.
And you knew Barkley. You obviously knew Charles Barkley playing with Philly or Phoenix.
You knew,
or Houston.
You knew Olajuwon. You knew Patrick Ewing. Right? Certainly knew Reggie Miller.
Yeah. I think the game itself. Okay, I think your point is well made, because I think you're saying stars in the NBA are more well known outside of NBA circles. I think within NBA circles, it just feels like there's more superstars right now. I think it is an absolute, like, Blake Griffin can't get to the conference finals, and he's, to me, a superstar. So is Chris Paul. I think there's two superstars in the LA Clippers that can't get out of the second round.
Are there always really good point guards like Chris Paul? Have there always been? He just happens to be the guy right now.
Maybe so, but didn't you think when the Celtics won...
Like, is Chris Paul better than, I don't know, Mark Jackson in his heyday? Well,
Celtics won 6 years ago, do they have three superstars, but do any of them transcend the game? Garnett, Pierce, and Allen, or just in basketball circles, like, hey, my mom's not going to know, hey, that's Ray Allen, the actor.
No, they don't transcend the game.
They don't.
But you know what? Okay, so, you know, the LA Clippers, and this is why it's the same. The LA Clippers are Blake Griffin and Chris Paul. You know who they are? They're Sean Kemp and Gary Payton. It's who they are. Like, identical. Right? And Gary
Payton.
Are
they as big? Yeah.
Gary Payton and Sean Kemp were great. It was the Rain Man. It was posters and
bedrooms.
But
here's what's tricky is are you known? Like Randy Johnson in baseball. I'm jumping around here, but I want to make this point. Randy Johnson was known, and everybody knew who he was, and people outside of baseball would go, well, that's unusual. He's 6'11 and a half, and he killed a bird. But Randy Johnson wasn't exactly out there like being a lovely dude and growing the game with interviews, or he wasn't funny in commercials. Blake Griffin has that going for him. Everybody knows who Blake Griffin is. He jumped over a car. Everyone knows who Blake Griffin is. He's in a lot of commercials. Dwight Howard was like that Orlando before he left. He was in commercial
bit.
And people were like, oh, you're so charming. No, he isn't.
You know,
you got sold a little bit there.
Honestly, since Michael Jordan, because this is a weird reference, but you know that goofy cartoon And it turned into a serial as well, Pro Stars.
Yeah.
It was Michael Jordan, it was Wayne Gretzky, and it was Bo Jackson. It's amazing that, I mean, Wayne Gretzky transcended his sport. Michael Jordan did as well. Here's more of the debate. Who transcended the sport better in terms of popular culture and marketing? Was it LeBron or Shaq? Right?
Oh,
because I
heavens.
Don't think either of them hold a candle to what Michael Jordan did for a decade in the NBA.
No, they didn't. So we're fighting, you know, maybe we're
It's a battle for second now. And we've gone beyond, hey, how good is this guy? How many points per game did he average? How many rings does he have?
Yeah, I'd be curious to see what people think.
416, and where does Kobe fit in too, right?
Where does Kobe fit in is huge. 416-870-0590, *590. And you can call us at 888-666-0590. Has LeBron transcended off the court even close to what, because close to what Michael has? Because you can have a basketball conversation. I hear it. People love the concept of, well, Michael was, you know, more explosive. Michael was a first team all defender. LeBron's a great defender. What I don't think gets what I think gets lost is LeBron can play all positions and he's less selfish and I don't think he's ever played with a team as deep. Doesn't have to be just one or two guys as the Bulls around
and
95
that,
and 96. And I don't believe that.
That is the basketball
96, 97.
That is the basketball conversation. I feel that Michael Jordan has, and it's not always about good guy, bad guy. I think he had the Tiger Woods quotient where it's, what is he having for breakfast? You know what? I mean, Michael Jordan wasn't on Twitter, but you know, what is Tiger putting on Twitter? What's he wearing on Sunday? Who's he dating? I feel Michael Jordan dominated the headlines in his sport. And LeBron has partly too, like the free agent special was something.
Yeah,
right?
we're a half decade away from it, and it was a remarkably bad idea. I hope we're all not judged by our worst idea.
Oh, but good.
Especially regarding broadcasting.
Hey, good, bad, or indifferent. I'm saying it like it or hate it, it captivated.
So what's a reason? What's a reason that LeBron? What are the two biggest reasons LeBron gets dissed by people? It's one is the decision, and the second is actually making the decision to show the decision and actually making it. Is there any other reason? Does he whine about calls more than anybody else? No. Is problem off the court? No. Is he a coach killer? No.
I like Cleveland LeBron, just personally. I like Cleveland LeBron better than Miami LeBron. Part of me resents his Miami titles a little bit because the second he went there, then they lose to Dallas and everyone kind of high fives about it. You knew it was an eventuality. Like, you knew he was going to win titles there. It was just going to happen in some eventually.
Tell me the difference between Shaq going to the Lakers, where Kobe already is, and doing exactly the same thing, knowing it wasn't going to happen in Orlando, knowing that Orlando was dying on the vine, and even interest. People were bored by him before he went to the Lakers in 97.
It felt different. And no free agent experience was ever quite like what we saw with LeBron.
No. No. And maybe that will never, ever happen again. By the way, the Jays have cut it to a 3-2 in the bottom of the eighth inning, second and first with one out. So there you go.
Exciting finish last night. Maybe an exciting finish today.
Maybe an exciting finish.
Yeah. Well, it'll be exciting either way. Right.
What if it doesn't finish well? Then it will not necessarily.
It'll still be exciting.
So you brought something up about Tristan Thompson, who has had a real coming out party. We'll see.
He was really good last night, by the way.
It's going to be fascinating as well. Like, Cleveland has gotten to this final, and to take the LeBron conversation another direction. And I do feel like we talked to Matt Cassel early in the show in the 1 o'clock hour, and he said, we didn't even have to prod it out of him. He said, everyone said, hey, Brady goes down, is injured against Kansas City, that opening game in 08. Everyone says, oh, your season's finished. Gets a chip on his shoulder right there. So I wonder about the Tristan Thompsons and the Mozgovs and the Shumperts and the guys in Cleveland, maybe less so Kyrie Irving, but more the other guys saying, hey, LeBron's carrying you guys to a title. You're just
but
climb
he is.
On LeBron.
But he
okay,
is.
But everybody I mentioned has been better in the playoffs than anybody would have thought. This is, and Tristan Thompson had a better season than I thought. There were flaws that he's starting slowly to correct. I don't think anybody is in the NBA who they are until they're in about their fourth season.
Sure.
Watch. I'm not going to rag on Tim Duncan, but watch Tim Duncan in his rookie season and tell me if he looks like the guy in his fourth or fifth season. No chance. This is why the future is so bright for guys like Wiggins and Parker once he gets healthy again. But you kicked it around. We thought, we see a list there. Eight Canadians have appeared in the NBA Finals. Joel Anthony barely played a role for Miami. Rick Fox was on some good Lakers teams. Bill Wennington would get his 10 minutes a night with the Bulls.
Right.
Right? Corey Joseph of the Spurs.
And this is the list of, okay, so he becomes the ninth guy.
I forgot about Todd McCullough.
Yeah.
The Sixers.
Winnipeg.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
You know the town?
Winnipeg. Okay. No, it was in Winnipeg. I can't remember the high school. Shaftesbury. Nine Canadians have made the NBA Finals. Now, of course, there's no Steve Nash on this list. There's no Andrew Wiggins yet. But it got me thinking and maybe it shows how slow Canadian basketball has been to come around. But I think we're in agreement that Steve Nash and Andrew Wiggins will be 1-2 by the time this is all done.
Barring injury, Wiggins should have the second best Canadian career ever.
Right.
Yeah. And who knows if he can win two MVPs. That's asking a lot.
Is Tristan Thompson already third? Now, the first name that comes to mind is Jamal McGlure. But it's really intriguing. You look at their numbers, and we remember Jamal McGlure made an all-star team, and that was great. But he only had three, maybe four, pretty good, like, double-double type of seasons. And then it was strictly as a rotation guy. We're talking 2.5 points and four rebounds.
Does it help him as well? He didn't really ever play on a really good team. I thought he toiled in kind of anonymity. He got drafted by Charlotte. They moved to New Orleans. Like, I'm trying to think of a really memorable team,
It didn't help him. But I think, like, my first instinct is to say, well, Tristan Thompson has some work to do to surpass the career that Jamal McGlure had, but he's shockingly almost there.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's got a ring as a 9th-10th guy with Miami. No, he doesn't, because they would have lost to Dallas. He doesn't have a ring, but he was in Miami the 2 years before. They made the playoffs one of those years with before LeBron James went there. I think Tristan Thompson will be regarded as that. What's kind of funny about where he is in his development is, I remember being disappointed by McGlure's career, which is so unfair because he's coming out of Kentucky and he goes 19th overall. You can never say that about Tristan Thompson, but he's also looking better only because his former teammate Anthony Bennett seems to have stiffed so far. Now, it's 2 years in. Nobody wants to write off an entire career. I lived in a city where it's like, this will be the year Darko Milicic figures it out. So I don't know where it's going to go with Anthony Bennett. But with Tristan Thompson,
it doesn't make you overly negative to think that Bennett's not going to.
I remember hearing, and though the positions are different, Brian Colangelo said, "Hey, listen, even if we had the number 4 overall pick, we're taking Jonas Valanciunas ahead of Tristan Thompson." And I'm thinking, wow, what an unpopular pick that would have been. I mean, you talk about them booing Damon Stoudemire's selection in '95. You think about the idea of Valanciunas then, and no matter what Valanciunas was or becomes, nobody liked that pick. Nobody liked with Bargnani still here playing a role. Nobody liked the
right
idea.
And it wasn't coming from a point of education or know-how. It was just
But it was in a way, because you're going, let me get this straight, Brian Colangelo. You need help immediately. Your team's not good, and you've just drafted a 7'1" white European player who won't even be here for a year. Maybe two. That was the rub at the time.
What
maybe
does it matter
two.
That he's white?
I don't like the idea of drafting...
They would have liked a black European player better?
I don't like the idea of drafting gigantic white big men from Europe.
Right.
Remarkably.
And what I'm saying
it's amazing how that works
it's
out.
It's not coming from a point of know-how. It's coming from, like, the Don Cherry school of... Oh, you can't draft a European, right? Like, as it turns out, it was probably a good pick.
No, I know, but look at even last year with a, I don't want to call it a pedestrian pick, but the pick of Bruno last year, people were like, okay, sell me. I don't know anything about him.
Sure.
He doesn't play in the ACC or the Big Ten, give me some info on him, one way or the other.
The human victory cigar, I still like that.
Yeah, that's a solid one. But either way, I mean, and that's a deep draft now. You look, Klay Thompson went 11 in that draft.
Yes, that's a good pick.
So I think it's very, very possible he turns into third overall. He might be the third best.
Yeah,
player.
He might be already there. One more good year puts him there for sure.
So we're still keeping our eye on Blue Jays. 3-2 White Sox, two out, bottom of the eighth. Now, I will say, I think it's worth mentioning, David Robertson came in and was batted around. He hasn't been all year. Like, his stats, his splits.
He's a good pitcher. Yeah, he has good numbers.
He's had, and you notice his walks to Ks. I think it was 2 walks and 20 Ks and maybe 18 innings. He doesn't walk anybody.
Yeah.
And not that he did last night. Josh Tolley had a single. Jose Reyes had a double. Josh Donaldson home run, game over.
No, the,
but it'll be interesting to see if he's back out there today. And Danny Valencia just grounded out to first. And it's the end of the eighth inning. So White Sox 3, Blue Jays 2 going to the ninth.
So 3-2 head to the ninth. We'll see if they can do it again. Okay, so today was a big day, and yesterday as well when it comes to the FIFA arrest. And we talked about it a little earlier. Stephen Brunt was in. You are passionate about soccer governing bodies. I am less so.
That might be a slight exaggeration.
And this isn't intended to make fun, but we were discussing earlier, like, where does the sport of, I mean, there's international soccer, there's local soccer, but where does it rank, I guess, on your depth charts? Like, there's a game of every kind on your television. What are you watching? What are you PVRing? So we did a top 10 list last week in honor of David Letterman. Went over really well. You can check it on our Twitter page. It's online as well, sportsnet.ca/590. So I put together another top 10 list just to give you an idea of where soccer talk ranks for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So here we go, from the home office in Woodbridge, Ontario.
You moved it. That's a shorter commute.
Well, that's what Dave did all the time, right? You always moved it around. So these are sports and games.
Those poor people in Kitchener thought they had jobs for life last week.
Sports/games I enjoy. I, Andrew Walker, enjoy more than soccer. All right, number 10, ECHL hockey.
Well, you're, yeah, hockey guy, yeah. Sure.
And AHL, for that matter. I like the Marlies. I do enjoy it more.
You and Ken Reed are like peas in a pod for hockey. You both just love right. it.
Number 9.
So much.
Number 9, bocce ball. Bocce ball.
Now,
an Italian. Now, bocce, what's bigger in Italy, bocce ball or soccer?
Yeah, but you have to, you know the answer to that.
And no,
you have
I don't.
To, you have to tell me where you can even see bocce ball. Where do you, you have to, it's like lawn bowling when you pass all those old people dressed in white and you're like, that looks like a lot of fun when I'm 78. But
no,
I'm not
now.
Staying in white.
I like the.
The grass is really well
yes,
manicured. It's
yes.
like when you walk down Blurred and that lawn in front of the insurance company. It's amazing.
Yeah.
How do they do it?
Beautiful. Beautiful. Like it's like a green, like a grass green.
I got a buddy of mine who's got enough property that he could set up about a 100, like about a 100 yard hole, like an elevated green. And I'm like, you got to do this with your backyard. You could do it. You just have the same, and eventually you'll get a hole in one. You just go out and play your own hole, if you will, every day.
All right. Number 8, sports/games. I enjoy more than soccer. WWF events.
Okay.
Like wrestling.
Sure.
WWF. What's that? I'm being told it's not called WWF anymore.
They changed it. There was a conflict, and at some point it changed to World Wrestling Entertainment.
Well, what are you
going to
do?
I don't know.
Whatever. Same thing. Number 7.
All my friends who haven't had sex tell me that.
Number 7. Sports I enjoy more than soccer. The fox hunt. Now, this has kind of gone the way of the dodo bird a little bit, but it's, you know, the bugles and riding horses, and you usually get, I think you have a hawk.
Is that more? I have a raccoon in my backyard right now. I could use some help with. Is that more a That's more
what
humane.
Am I,
you're okay. That's more humane than bullfighting. Like you're not gonna.
It's more of an English thing, but I do enjoy it more. Than
bullfighting is more of a Spanish thing.
Number 6.
Is that racist? They're just not bullfights anywhere but Spain,
no,
are they?
Yeah, not racist.
Australia doesn't have them.
That's a country. Number 6. WWF events. I already said that. Oh, except this is the wildlife, like the actual World Wildlife Federation. I do
enjoy pandas sliding, going down a slide.
Sure. Take your pick.
Panda's going up, panda's going down.
Number 5, the caber toss. I do actually legitimately enjoy that more than
that's that's some kind of act. That's like a band.
It's a Gaelic. It's a Gaelic thing. Like you have the big like a telephone pole and you toss it as far as you can.
Tomorrow can we get footage of a caber toss so
it's
I know
sport.
What we're doing?
Number 4, the Cooper's Hill cheese rolling and wake. You know that one well. That's where they roll down the hill to catch the wheel of cheese.
You don't You watched a lot. You and I sat in a bar after we went to the CFL game the other last year and watched soccer. We didn't watch the Cooper's Hill cheese rolling in Wake. Have it on.
Speak for yourself.
Is it on YouTube?
Yes, every year it's on YouTube, and every year people get hurt. It's delightful. Number three, soon coming to our city, the Pan Am Games opening ceremonies.
I wouldn't put up your nose at that. I think they have some big things planned.
I'm not putting my nose up at it.
They are importing 50 mimes from various countries all over the Pan Am region.
I'm saying I care more about the Pan Am Games opening ceremonies than I do about Sepp Blatter.
Costa Rica has great mimes, and they're all coming for the Pan Am Games opening ceremony.
Number two, Balderdash.
No, that's
I do enjoy it. Not a sport, but a game. It's like golf. Golf's not a sport. It's a game.
You move the goalposts after eight. Now we're up to two, and you can't, like, sorry isn't something you'd watch people play or
Monopoly.
Trouble.
Monopoly, okay, it's a competition.
Boggle.
Balderdash. You'd be good at Balderdash. Although your answers would always be like eight cue cards long. We'd always know it was you.
There needs to be a time.
That's a Brady answer. And the number one sport.
Kind of like this segment.
Sport and game I enjoy more than soccer. Quidditch.
That's not
from Harry Potter. That's a real sport. Actually, they have there's college Quidditch teams. Except people can't fly around on brooms.
My understanding was at Hogwarts they played in a very tough conference,
right.
Like this that they could
never get out of the Sweet 16.
They scheduled all these cupcake Quidditch teams in the first three games of the year, and then had to go in. Yeah, Danny Sheridan thought they really should have upped the scheduled content. They were always afraid to go and play one of those tough Quidditch teams on the road in the first couple weeks of the season. It's more than anything.
The Brady and Walker Twitter followers are very upset at the top 10 list.
I'm reading this on Wikipedia. Quidditch is a competitive sport in the wizarding world of the Harry Potter universe. Who wrote this and where's his girlfriend?
Yeah.
Featured in the series of novels and movies. Matches are played between two teams of seven players riding flying broomsticks using four balls, a quaffle, two bludgers, and a golden snitch. I knew a girl in university. No, I didn't. I'm not finishing this sentence. Because it involves a quaffle, two bludgers, and a golden snitch.
No, don't do that.
And I love all women except her, so I won't be accused of anything else. We have Blackhawks and Ducks game six tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. By the way, what I was looking into for shows like this, because it's a little, we're not doing our normal, like I don't think we'll go home and go, wow, fantastic. We just killed it today. Because when the Jays are playing, we're on television and we're on the web. We're happy to let the Jays take over the airwaves. They should. We're the official station of the Toronto Blue Jays.
We love talking baseball, but if you're watching us, right now people are, the ball game's on?
But I found a pitcher. I'm going to email it to our producer and maybe it can end up getting on the screen in our last segment coming back. I found a picture of a mannequin. Because I thought, you really want to be at the ball game today. This would be, you want to be here with me more than anything. But you would love to be at the baseball game.
I like sunny, roof open, baseball.
Right.
Yes, it's an enjoyable part about being in a Major League Baseball city.
You don't know how far, when you go on eBay, so I thought we could have a mannequin here, and we could just use voice, and some of the people watching, some people put this show on, believe it or not, as background noise, and they pay very little attention strong opinions and excellent content we provide. So
it's in a lot of sports bars too.
Yes. And women's clothing stores, I'm told. So it's really hard to find a male mannequin on eBay, but I did find one. And I bet you we're outnumbered. Male mannequins on eBay are probably outnumbered about 8-1. Who do I think is purchasing all the female mannequins? I'm going to leave that up to you to decide. I don't think these are quite like blow up dolls. But it's close. Oh, they're going to zoom in on the screen from here. Okay, yeah, for once, I will let the cameras look at my screen. There's a male plastic mannequin on eBay, and it's worth $69. Am I still blocking out there? No, that's not the paper.
You're good. So you're going to...
paper's other way.
You're going to buy this and put it in my chair so I can go to day baseball
games.
I'm
looking more at the picture on the left, so I'm not worried about how anatomically correct this is compared to you on the right.
We actually have similar builds, the mannequin and I.
How tall is that mannequin? Because people, we could bring that in, have the mannequin for the show, and people be like, I didn't think Walker was that tall. Now, here's the problem. The mannequin costs $69. I know, right? but the shipping is $35.95. That's where I put my foot down. I'm not paying $36, so you can go to the Jays game, and I can talk to a mannequin here during Brady and Walker.
I never expected you to.
So you should pay.
You'd pay $70 for a mannequin, but not $100.
Pay me.
Good to know.
Ignore the Joel Colburn bet. Buy the mannequin.
I'm and already you can donating to, my Joel Colburn money to your stupid. No, it's not a stupid bike ride. It's a great cause. To your stupid.
You already just donated something else now that is actually stupid, not the ride to conquer cancer.
No, yes.
So I just want you to get in on this it's going to set you back about $108.
No chance.
And you can go to every Blue Jays game the rest of the year. And we may not even have a boss by the time we get this. And the mannequin can sit here and no one will notice that the mannequin's doing this. The mannequin may have better opinions than me. About, you know, the
Hockey
Jays,
and, yes, mostly.
Who the Leafs should draft. Like, the mannequin's a big Mitch Marner guy.
Probably.
I can tell by looking at him.
Probably dress better as well and sweat less.
We'll do two more things and talk to Kenny Albert. Yes, that's the wrong Albert. Rangers radio play-by-play commentator. Game 7 on CBC on Friday night at 8 o'clock. Rangers and Lightning. This is, you know, Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 360.
Tell your smartphone to smarten up. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. On demand. Back to Brady and Walker. On TV at Sportsnet 360. Online at sportsnet.ca/590. And on your radio at Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
So apparently, Noah Syndergaard hit a 430-foot home run today for the New York Mets. Did you know about this?
I read that.
7 1/3, six hit shutout innings so far.
Well, nice. he wasn't going to hit here, nice. So don't make a big deal out of it.
Nine interleague games, couple at bats. We don't know. That's amazing. That's like I would rather do that as a pitcher than many things than get a 6-hit shutout. You can do that at any time. Our next guest will be front and center when the Rangers are hosting the Tampa Bay Lightning on Friday night. Man, more Game 7 magic at the Garden. But he's also in Chicago right now for Anaheim and Chicago. You know him, of course, from Fox Football Sundays as well. Oh, he's home right now. Okay, I thought he was headed there. It's been very tough to keep track, but we're finally glad we tracked him down. One of the great voices in the NHL and on the NFL and on Major League Baseball, multi-passeted, multi-talented Kenny Albert joining us on Brady and Walker across Canada on Sportsnet 360. Thanks for doing this, Kenny. You can understand I lost track around mid-May as to your daily whereabouts.
I think I did as well. So if you tell me that I'm home, I guess that means I'm home. It's hard to remember what day of the week it is, what hotel room I'm in. But all honesty, Doc Emmerich did the games in Chicago in this series. Joe Micheletti, Brian Engblom, and I were in Anaheim for 1, 2, and 5. So it'll be Doc, Eddie, and Pierre tonight. I get to watch here at home.
I'm one of these rare. I love this topic. My partner rolls his eyes, but I love the scheduling of stuff.
Oh God!
And I've always thought do this like baseball because I've sat there in arenas when I used to cover it on a beat and go, "You're kidding me, right? We're going back to Raleigh. We're going back to St. Louis." But doing this 2-3-2. You help out the planet with the carbon footprint, helps people like you book flights and book hotel rooms more in advance. Would there be something to that? Do it the way the NBA Finals did it way back when and do it the way every baseball series does it.
Right. I think the 2-2-1-1-1 is more fair to the teams. You get the 2-3-2 and sometimes, you know, if you split the first two, then it's really an advantage for the team that has the three in the middle, so they're probably not too concerned about our flight schedules and hotel schedules. So to me, if I were the team that finished with the better record that has the home ice advantage or home court, I'd probably rather have the 2-2-1-1-1.
It's pretty amazing. We were talking about it earlier in the sense of in a league full of parity, and everybody knows that Tampa Bay is a great hockey team and they've been playing great hockey for a long time. But it's the ultimate compliment to pay the Rangers, right? We've gotten to the point now where they host Game 7 at MSG, and it just feels like we all know the result already. That's how good they've been.
Well, they certainly have been in the Game 7s in the last 4 years with this core group of players led by Henrik Lundqvist. And I sent out a tweet earlier today. The Rangers can really thank Cam Talbot for having Game 7 at home, because if he doesn't go 16-4-3, during Lundqvist's injury, they don't have home ice advantage. They don't win the President's Trophy. So he was such a huge part of it. He's almost the forgotten man because he hasn't played in a game since April 7th. But he really is one of the main reasons why they will host Game 7, as they did against Washington in the second-round series. And it's really remarkable when you look at what Lundqvist has done in the game sixes and sevens now over the last 4 or 5 years. They've won five in a row, you know, at home as far as the Game 7s, and he's won six in all. He won one in Washington back in 2013, 5-0. So Lundqvist is tied with Wah and Brodeur, most Game 6 wins ever. So he'll set a record if they win on Friday for Game 7 wins, which is just remarkable. Again, what they've been able to do, so many of those games have been 2-1. You think back to Game 6 against Montreal last year, 1-0 to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. So there is another team, though, out on the ice, and Tampa Bay has certainly proven that they're explosive at times during this series. Even when it was 6-3 last night, and Tampa Bay had the power play with about 4 minutes left, from a Ranger standpoint, you're still thinking, well, what if they score quick here and then get another one? Then it's a one-goal game. So it's an explosive team on the other side, and it's been a crazy series as far as the momentum. Not only has it not carried over from game to game, but even from period to period, it's been crazy.
It is amazing, though, the 15-3 in their last 18 elimination games. And as you said, we almost equated it to, you go back to 93 and the Habs won 10 straight overtime games. And by the time you got to 5, 6, 7, you were thinking, and they were thinking, well, this is our game and someone's going to be the hero and somebody's going to win it for us. And it feels like the Rangers are kind of there in terms of belief when their backs are against the wall.
And I think you have to look at the Blackhawks as well. Until they lost the other night in Game 5, they had been 14-0 under Joel Quenneville in Games 5 and 6 with a series tied at 2, which is unbelievable as well, and the leadership of Taves and Kane and Seabrook and Keith right on down the line. So, you know, when you get down to the Final Four, it's four tremendous teams, you know, great goaltenders and a lot of leadership on all four teams. So it should be fun to watch the Chicago-Anaheim game tonight, and the Rangers Friday night against the Lightning should be a tremendous night.
Kenny Albert, kind enough to join us on Brady and Walker nationwide on Sportsnet 360. I'm a huge fan of Alain Vigneault. I mean, only been there 2 years. He had to wait 5 years to get another chance after Montreal. Montreal was in the doldrums after they fired him. Vancouver still in, I'd say, a transitory period. It's hard sometimes in New York, you know this so well, to get the attention if you're not sort of brash, you know, loud. Rex Ryan was that. Mike Keenan was that. Is Alain Vigneault regarded, even by casual hockey fans, as just having done an amazing job in 2 years?
Well, he really has. And I think, you know, fans who have followed the Rangers, you have to give John Tortorella a lot of credit as well, and his staff with Mike Sullivan and Benoit Allaire, who's been the goalie coach under three head coaches now with Tom Rennie and then Tortorella and Vigneault. But, you know, what Tortorella did here cannot go unnoticed, I think, because the core group of this team with Lundqvist and McDonough, Girardi, and Staal, and guys like Kreider and Stepan and Hagelin, they learned how to play playoff hockey under John Tortorella. They went to the Eastern Conference Final in 2012, went to the second round, lost to Boston in 2013. But then Vigneault comes in, and he changes the style. The team now plays a north and south speed game. And, you know, to take the team to the Stanley Cup Final in your first year, having come back from 3-1 against Pittsburgh in the second round, and then in year two, now you're one game away from the Stanley Cup Final, and you won the President's Trophy. So you have to give Vigneault a ton of credit as well. And again, his staff, Scott Arneil is the associate head coach, Ulf Samuelsson, Darrell Williams, Benoit Allaire, who Henrik Lundqvist referred to last week as the best goalie coach in the world. So you do have to give the staff a lot of credit.
When was the moment for you, Kenny, that you saw Derek Brassard kind of start to turn the corner and become the player he is? Big night last night, obviously, and it just kind of was an exclamation point on what's been a really good first three rounds for him.
You know, it's funny. You could answer the question by saying his first game as a Ranger. The trade was
sure.
In April of 2013. He gets off a plane about 5 o'clock, plays against Pittsburgh that night, and scores 4 points in his first game as a Ranger when folks in New York didn't know a lot about him. But to tell you the truth, in all three playoffs, he's been really good. And I made the point last night to my partner Dave Maloney at some point during the game. I said, aside from Lundqvist over the last 3 years, he's probably been the Rangers' best player in the playoffs. He stepped up his game in the postseason. That first year with the Rangers in 2013, they're down to Washington 3-2. he scores the only goal in Game 6. They win 1-0. They go on to win Game 7. He was really good in the playoffs last year, and he stepped up the game, in the postseason this year. And what I point to is the fact that he signed a big contract last summer, 5 years, $25 million. Some players might have a bit of a letdown after that. I got my money. I'll rest on my laurels. You know, the money's in the bank. Not Derek Brassard. He's gotten even better after signing the deal.
Hey, we're glad you're home and settled for a little bit. We hope you have a great call Friday night. Those Marriott points won't earn themselves. We're glad you've been well-traveled in the last several weeks. Thanks for doing this for us.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it, and hopefully we can do it again over the next couple of weeks.
Hope so. Kenny Albert joining us on Brady and Walker. It's Rangers-Lightning Friday night, 8 o'clock on CBC. Tonight at 8 o'clock is Anaheim in Chicago at United Center. As we mentioned, the Hawks do not go quietly once they get this far in the playoffs, and they'll try and force a Game 7 Saturday night. Speaking of forcing, potential extra innings have been forced once again by the best third baseman on the planet, I think it's safe to say, Josh Donaldson.
And it is. They're in the 10th. Donaldson went deep again. He got to David Robertson for a second straight night. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Did he serve him a fastball? I didn't see the pitch.
It was 2-0, deep and inside.
Yeah.
And he put it in the second deck and left. So there you go. They're in the 10th right now. Ozuna's in.
So Jays still have an opportunity to win their four straight. We'll talk about it a lot on the show tomorrow. Get you set for potentially two Game 7s in 2 days, Friday and Saturday. Right now, let's do two more things. All right, do you want to go first? I want to stretch mine out, no pun intended. Tell me what yours is today.
Okay, I have it. You know what?
By the way, I forgot the pub one from yesterday, and I'll have to bring it up. I can do mine.
Go ahead. I have a link on my phone.
Great profile piece in Australia's biggest newspaper, The News, about the tallest man in India. Dharmendra Singh is 8'1". Apparently, he's 11 centimeters shy of the world record of 8'3". Okay? But he's 32, and he's had a tough time finding love because of his height.
Sure.
Women write letters to serial killers.
I thought women love tall men.
He's 8 foot. Well, he can't get in most doorways of nice restaurants or drive-thrus.
Right.
For that, I mean, where's he going to take you in his Miata? So, here's what he says, though. This is not good. Reluctantly, he's taken up work as a freak show performer at a local amusement park where he spends his days in a cage-like structure, otherwise known as a cage, selling photographs to paying punters for approximately 20 cents per pop. Besides that, life is wonderful.
Right.
He's having a blast being 8'1". He's 8'1".
Besides that little detail there.
Don't you think, I don't know how athletic he is, but the Raptors in that first round, with the problems with Nene and Gortat.
He is 32.
I know. His best NBA days are his best ABA days are behind him.
Would you rather be 8'1" or 3'1"?
Well, how old am I?
You're right now.
I would be 8'1" for a day just for the fun of it. Sure, yeah. Why not?
All right. My thing is all right.
Makes my back hurt just thinking about
Auburn
it.
Auburn center Trevon Reed was released from prison last week following a jail sentence that stemmed from a second-degree misdemeanor assault charge. This is what happened. He was attempting to steal an ice cream bar from 7-Eleven.
Sure, yeah.
An officer stopped him, and he broke the officer's finger. All of this, he plays at a Division I college basketball school, and all of this over an ice cream sandwich.
But once you're caught, you're caught. It doesn't matter if you're stealing a ballpoint pen or...
Right, but it matters if you break an officer's finger.
Yeah, but when I was 8 and stole that Super Bowl ball from Wolko, I probably would have had to fight somebody off to get away with the crime. Run into the parking lot myself, you know? Again, you're not... Statute of limitations. It was 1979. I needed a Super Bowl. Primetime Sports is next. 4-3 White Sox have taken the lead. We'll see you tomorrow at 1.